Welcome to Engineering Influence, coming to you live from the ECEC Fall Conference in Chicago, Illinois. Very happy to be joined by Eric Peterson from Peterson Structural Engineering out of Portland, Oregon. Eric is coming to us with kind of an interesting perspective because one of the things that Mitch Simpler, our current board chair, has talked about a lot in his experience has been on the private sector side. And a lot of times with ACEC, especially in the work that we do in Washington, it's so driven by funding cycles with infrastructure bills, with public sector work, which is a critical aspect of what we do. It's not everything that we do. The statistic that Mitch always likes to talk about, if you take $1 trillion of work that's out there and you have about $800 billion in the private market, $200 billion about in the horizontal market. So, Eric, tell us a little bit about yourself, your firm, your experience with ACEC, and kind of how you're approaching this.
Jeff, thanks for having me on today, and really happy to be here in Chicago. This has been a great conference so far, and as always, ACEC just throws a wonderful show. So,
great.
I'm the managing principal of Peterson Structural Engineers. We're a 25-person structural-only discipline with offices in Oregon, Washington, and California. Mm-hmm. And my firm operates about 50-50 in the private and the public sector. And I've been involved in ACEC for my entire career, which is 23 years.
Okay. Wow. So how have you seen the organization change over that time that you've been involved in it and kind of its position in regards to the private sector work?
How have I seen it change? Well, there hasn't been enough change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There has been intent over the years, but it has served the public sector clients so well. And there has been so many things to do that their plate has been full. Mm-hmm. As you said, there's way more than 50% of the potential member firms out there working in vertical and private sector work that would really benefit from being ACEC mm-hmm. members. And so Mitch Simpler's desire is very similar to my desire to mm-hmm. have more private sector firms get involved in ACEC and make us more effective.
Yeah, and with Mitch, coming on as really board chair, this is his first, board of directors meeting this morning was his first, time in with the gavel. How important do you think his voice is going to be in driving that message home?
Incredibly important, because Mitch is unique in that Mitch is 100% private sector.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've ever had somebody with that much influence mm-hmm. out of the private sector before. But he's one of those people like myself that can see that it's not just roads and bridges, it's not just public sector contracting and everything. There are so many things related to the private sector that need to change and need to happen. And frankly, part of that is education and awareness by folks who do work in the private sector.
Yeah, and that's really important. And if you are a firm out there in doing a lot of private sector work and you're looking and saying, well, is ACEC a place that I could call home? What are some of the reasons you would give to a firm like that to say, yeah, you know what, you should come into ACEC and you should take advantage of it?
Great question. So one of the primary things is that private sector firms often operate in a bid-only environment. Mm-hmm. QBS almost doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And so when they are going out to try to get jobs, low bid is basically the world they operate in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of a major issue, is if they get more empowerment, more understanding, and frankly can put more pressure on their clients, their architects, their private developers, things like that, to say, hey, it's not just about the bottom line, it's about mm-hmm. quality, it's about experience.
Yeah.
They get that awareness, and really that could be huge for that market. The other thing is contracting.
Yeah.
The contracts on the private side tend to be awful. And ACEC has done so much for the public sector clients mm-hmm. to put more parity, more fairness into contracts that the private sector clients, if they understood it, knew where the advocacy and the huge horsepower of $1 million-plus PAC could go and help push contracts to be much better and much more fair. That would be huge for private sector. But frankly, I think they got their heads down and they're just going working, 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 and really don't know that we're here.
Yeah, and that's an important point, because when you're doing the private sector work, you're really deadline driven and you want to make sure that you deliver for the client and that, you know, you get the work done, and you don't have a lot of time to like step up and say, okay, well, if I get engaged with this other organization, you know, it could have benefits for me down the line, but I got to focus on day to day. But other professional organizations do that all the time. You know, the lawyers with the ABA,
I mean, sure.
You know, they have themselves kind of tied in, and they've created their own protected class to an extent that if you have a rising tide lifts all boats kind of things, where more private firms get involved, you reach that critical mass stage, and then you're able to advocate as a group and force a lot of those things, like you said, QBS, critically important in the public sector. You know, you might not get the direct corollary in the private sector, but you could get a lot more contracts with better terms if you're able to negotiate those and with the advocacy side, really push that message.
Yeah, and pushing the message, this would be the key. Engineering is not a commodity.
Yes, yeah.
Engineering is not a commodity, and when you're dealing in a low bid environment, that's all you are. And I frankly have clients who have, or not clients, but tried to be clients who have come to me and said, you know, I think you'd be great for this, but Larry down the street is less expensive.
Yeah.
Can you drop your price? And I'd say, no, not only am I not going to drop my price, but I'm going to raise it because now you got me scared.
Yeah.
You know, if a client's like that, that's just not a good thing.
So we go into a lot of the broader issues that were talked about today at the board of directors meeting, especially when you come down to like the strategic plan that we've just adopted, where we talk about driving thought leadership and the whole idea of becoming a trusted advisor. In a video that we played, Mitch said that when you move into becoming a trusted advisor, you know, you're not just a mundane service provider, you become a force in the industry. Engineering is not a commodity. It is a professional service that has intrinsic value, and the work that you do and the expertise that you bring cannot be looked at as a product. How do you think that strategic plan is going to help drive that message or arm private sector firms to really build that portfolio of thought leadership?
So I think that there's a multifold answer to that, but one of them is our outreach, it being more aware, doing things like the podcast, that frankly, you send these things out in this electronic and digital age, having this kind of outreach where ACE says, we are doing all these good things and we could do them for you. That's one part. Another part is engagement. For firms like myself who saw the value very early on, I no longer operate in that commodity environment completely. And can you imagine being somebody who is nothing but low bid, who feels that they are, that the only value they have, the only leverage that they have is to be cheaper than the next guy?
Yeah.
Can you imagine not having to live in that world anymore? How refreshing that would be.
Yeah, and how freeing. And
how freeing that would be. Empowering, yeah.
Yeah, and by becoming engaged in ACEC, it kind of helps you get that platform.
Exactly.
To be able to talk at that level, right?
But ACEC is, you get out of it what you put into it.
Yeah.
You absolutely, they can't show up and say, okay, what are you going to do for me now? I paid my dues. How are you going to fix this for me? Mm-hmm. They have to get in and be part of the fix. But they get in and be part of the fix with this organization that frankly has more horsepower than, I mean, we're more powerful than AGC, which is stunning. There are very few entities that have the amount of horsepower that we have.
Yeah, you mentioned the PAC earlier, and that's an important point because a lot of people tie the PAC in with public sector work. But at the end of the day, my experience has been working in Congress with a lot of different members. And quite honestly, the biggest thing, especially in rural Pennsylvania, where my former boss was had his district, is we always talked about economic development. And yeah, okay, that's roads and bridges and that's infrastructure. But it's also private sector development.
Sure.
That drives economic development. So if you're able to show that our, you know, engineering services can help entice private sector employers into your area because you are building and designing you know, facilities that people want to come in and move and lease and work, then you're going to be able to improve the lives of your constituents. And that's where the tie-in with the PAC is with the private sector side of things.
Absolutely. And frankly, last year, the PAC did more for the private sector and the public sector. One of the biggest things was the pass-through on the taxation bill. I mean,
that was massive.
That was massive.
I know a lot of attorneys who were very angry at when I joined on ACEC, and they're like, "Oh, guess what? Yeah, we're getting taxed."
Yeah, my accountant the exact same thing. He's a pass-through corporation, and he asked me, "How did you guys get this?" Mm-hmm. I said, "Big PAC and good advocacy." Honesty about the profit margins and what's right and what's wrong. It's not that we're unwilling to pay our taxes. We do. We pay our taxes. But to say with an industry that doesn't have the margin that other industries has, it's really important that tax law be fair. Yeah. And that was a fair assessment. Never would have happened without Steve Hall and that crew doing their job.
Yeah, that was a massive win.
Yep.
On a big bill. I mean, that was when you start talking about tax bills, you're talking about everyone in the world trying to get a piece of that bill.
Absolutely.
And to get their own carve outs or to get their own language in. So to be able to do that is a big lift.
Yep.
And that is still something which you know.
And right now, the private sector firms got that one for free.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
One of the questions I have is on technology, because going back to the whole idea of commoditization, and I talked to some CEOs last in May in the D.C. convention about how they're diversifying and how they're bringing on new disciplines. You know, you have a firm that might be engaged in one area, and then all of a sudden they start adopting technology, and then all of a sudden they start hiring people in a completely different field to handle the data, because, oh, my God, we're a data company now, or we're going to start using drones, or we're going to start using other technologies. How, in your experience or in speaking with your peers, has technology enabled private sector firms to use those technologies to kind of assert themselves as not a commodity, but as a service provider, not just a service provider, but kind of like an expert in an area, you know, being diversified?
Yeah, to answer that question, I would have to say that that my experience with private sectors is they tend to follow. When Revit came along, the architects took it on first and then said, all right, structural engineers, just for example, you need to work in Revit because we're working in Revit. It's not to say that that the private sector doesn't break boundaries. Mm-hmm. But again, it's hard to be a technology leader when you're
so focused.
When you're so focused on being low bid, you just got to barely get the job done. But that said, the private sector could be a huge part of that because, again, I mean, ACEC right now captures what, 20-25% of the design professionals, the engineering design professionals. Mm-hmm. There's 75% out there that still hasn't been a part of this group.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the plan that was addressed this morning. It's kind of looking to the future and saying, how can we capture engineering professionals that are out there that may not be looking at ACEC, but as the industry kind of change, you know, as every industry does, it changes over time, and you know, the economy is what it is, and everybody kind of has to diversify and try to figure out ways to differentiate themselves in the marketplace. You know,
well, let me stop you there for a second because what I'm going to say is that, and I'm plugging ACEC here, and you know, doing it without apology, but again, another part of that is we sit in our roundtables, and the technology keeps moving. It keeps spinning. It goes, it goes, it goes. And when you're out there on an island by yourself and you're trying to figure it all out on your own, it's really hard to get your fingers around not only what's coming, but how do you deal with it?
Yeah.
And then you sit in a room with 50 people and they say, I got this new thing come up and I don't know how to deal with it. And 20 people say, here's your options. This is how you can do it.
Yeah, that's I want to tie it back. Like, ACEC with not only just the roundtables but also the coalitions.
Absolutely.
And that's another area which I think that a lot of people don't realize is there, and the low cost of entry to get involved with the coalitions.
Yep.
That really allow you to dig into different areas if you want to.
Sure.
And all of a sudden you realize I'm not alone. There are other people who are in small firms or medium-sized firms who are facing these challenges, and collectively we can kind of attack these issues and create solutions or learn things that you otherwise wouldn't know.
Yeah. Case for the structural engineers, CAMI for the mechanicals and electricals, Land Development Coalition. I mean, there's some real specialties in there that have horsepower all by themselves.
Absolutely, and they're all part of the ACEC family.
Yep.
Covered a lot of ground. I mean, is there anything else that we didn't touch upon that is really kind of affecting where you are right now and you know, what you're working with?
I think that on the whole, as I look back over the 20 some odd years that I've been doing this, and of all the different things that I've done, the benefits, the different kinds of groups that I've supported, and I do support and work with other groups as well, this one in particular is the most powerful that I could ever hope for. And people look at it and they say, wow, that's a more expensive group than ASCE is. That's a more expensive group than SEAO. But the amount, it's not about PDHs. It's about being able to sit down with somebody who is a direct competitor and say, I've got these issues. I need to talk, not issues with them, but how do you deal with this? How do you deal with this healthcare stuff? How do you deal with this employee retention thing? And have an open, frank conversation where nobody's holding back. Mm-hmm. That happens here, and it doesn't happen anywhere else.
Yeah, that's important. Not to make a plug, but I mean, you know, it's also on the retirement, on the healthcare, all the trusts, with another area that people sometimes don't realize. Oh my God, that's out there.
Yeah,
a retirement trust, a healthcare, a life and health trust. Different solutions that could help firms take off some of the stress.
Yeah.
And be able to get their head out of the day to day and increase their opportunities for new business.
If I had to send a message, and I'm sorry for interrupting if I had to send a message out to the folks that might be listening to this podcast, I would say, if you know of a private sector firm that you think would be a good ad, please do your part and go out and talk to them, introduce them, bring them to something, show them some of the values, introduce them to their state MO exec. Mm-hmm. Talk to them a little bit, because this could actually happen. Getting more private sector firms could actually happen fairly quickly.
Yeah.
If the current membership who sees the value each takes a little bit of a membership development role.
Yeah. And that's important, because, and there are a lot of opportunities, because I mean, you have a 52 state and regional or metro, federation, there's somebody there.
Absolutely.
To talk to. And there's something going on at ACEC that they can do. Either it's going to be a conference or a convention, the large events, the smaller little educational things, the seminars, the webinars that are put on all the time to, help firm leaders with different things. So there's always an opportunity.
Absolutely.
Well, Eric, I really appreciate your time. It's been a great conversation. Hope you have a great week at the conference.
Thanks, Jeff. It's been a really nice opportunity to be able to sit and chat with you.
Yeah,
and, I look forward at some point in time maybe doing this again.
Yeah, I would love you to, because, I mean, like I said, this is a new way for us to get information out there. And not just for our members, but for anybody out there who's listening. Hopefully, Podbean, Spotify, Google, or, the Apple Podcasts, who may not be familiar with ACEC, it's a great way to get familiar with the organization.
Absolutely.
So, and thank you for being on, and just have a great time in Chicago.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.